Hello, everybody. This is the Friendly Bear Podcast, where we interview some of the best and brightest traders in the trading community. Listen to inspiring stories and nuggets of insight from current and future game changers in the trading space. Listen and learn as we explore all types of trading niches with some of the best in the industry from a Friendly Bear point of view. Make sure to check out the Friendly Bear Podcast's new YouTube channel called Friendly Bear Research, which includes all the podcast video content and supplemental screen shares. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. With that being said, I'm your host, David, aka Reverse Long, and this is the Friendly Bear Podcast. Let's dive in. What's up, everyone? This is David, aka Reverse Long, and today I'm here with the money smart guy, Massapala. And I came across Massapala from being a big fan of the Valuetainment and the PBD podcast, where Matt is one of like the Patrick Bet Davis, like right-hand men, or he's part of their company over there. And they always have a lot of good things to say about finance and just about the right mindset and just a good way to go about things. And, you know, with social media and stuff out there, I personally, what was a big game changer for me, especially starting out a few years ago in trading and whatever it is, like my craft is trading, and whoever's probably watching the podcast, trading is just curating your social media to feed you the right stuff. So I decided to put like all finance related things, all trading topics, all, topics that will increase my mentality, my mental state to kind of focus on the areas in my life that I want to fix. And this was a big one because like personally, when I was in a disaster of a financial situation after graduate school with all the student loans, with being financially illiterate and coming from a place that like both my parents they came as immigrants to this country. And they didn't teach me much about finance, so I had to educate myself. So I saw Matt's podcast and reels of social media online talking about making up for this wasting time in your 20s and having to make up for it later. And that spoke to me directly right away. Whoa, this is like speaks to me because I feel like I'm doing, and I've told this to my uncle like a couple of weeks ago. Like, I feel like I'm doing 20 years of work in like a couple of years, and I love it. I enjoy it. But like, you know, it's sometimes I can't help but think back to the time, you know, how far I could be even more along the path if I would have started a little earlier. So I don't know. I wanted to reach out to Matt and see his thoughts on that, and just kind of reiterate what he was talking about, or a little more in depth maybe about all that, what he has to say, because he has a lot of knowledge and has a lot of experience to share as well. So with all that, Matt, how's it going?
It's going great, man. David, thanks for having me here on your podcast.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the time to come on.
For sure.
Be cool. So Matt, first of all, what was the podcast, or what were those videos that you put out that were on that topic?
I was talking about the 2020 plan. Where, you know, the first 20 years of your life, you know, you dedicated to making money. You do your thing. No big mistakes. Avoid a lot of big mistakes, avoid a lot of drama. If you can do that in your first 20 years, and you just focus on making your money, then the next 20 years of your life, now you can start finding ways to really make your money. So you avoid big mistakes in your first 20 years to find out what craft you want to be in. The next 20 years, so 40 years total, now you really find a stride. And then the 20 years after that, now it's all contribution. How much can I give back, and how much can I make a difference? You know, we took that from the Bush family because, you know, former President George W. Bush came in. They talked about the Bush family and what they talk about in the Bush family. And it goes all the way back to Prescott Bush when he attended Yale and he was in politics. And basically their mantra in their family was go to school, go to Yale, get a good degree, get a good education, make your money, take care of yourself. Get married, take care of your wife. You have kids, take care of your kids. Once they're financially set up, and then for the rest of your life, dedicate yourself to public service. So that's where we broke down the 2020 plan, because you're right, David. I am from the Filipino background, first generation born Filipino here. My parents just were lucky to say, okay, we're in America. Thank God for being in America. And then they had me. And they're barely trying to survive themselves, let alone try to teach me the ways of the world, the ways of America. They're trying to figure out to themselves. So, you know, I've always felt that it takes only one person every family's generation to change the last name of that bloodline forever. And so I'm glad you're doing your part too as well.
Thanks. So with that, so how did you go about like educating, like getting financially literate and like making up for all that? When did it occur to you that you got to take care of, like, you know, you got to like to be where you're at now, like you're killing it. So when did you decide to like, okay, let me no more partying, no more this, you know, let me the first 20 years or like you're entering the other 20 years. Like, how did that go about?
Well, my first 10 years getting out of the military was a mess. So, you know, don't confuse my chapter 35 with somebody else's chapter 1, 2, and 3. Right. And so the first 10 years of my career coming out the military, I was just trying to do my best, survive, stumbled across the insurance industry, found out that I was pretty good at learning sales and pretty good at learning business and talking to clientele and getting them on board as a client to help them understand. Let me educate you on where you're at today versus what you can have with these insurance-based products and services. And people made the move. And quite frankly, as the Filipino first-generation born kid that didn't go to college, I just learned it by self-study. I had some mentors around me that I invested in. I spent time with them. Men in business that were much more mature in life, much more mature in their financial profession. I just found ways to be around them because I saw they were killing it. I said, what are your habits? What are you studying? How are you talking to clients? How are you marketing? How are you putting stuff out there? What's your practice management? How are you hiring people? How are you firing people? How do you find somebody to shadow you? How do you know the right person to be as your junior advisor, your junior associate? Because I want to find myself also duplicating myself into other people. So therefore, I can just show up to my office, do the things that I'm good at and very excellent at doing, but delegate the things that I'm not at that somebody else is excellent in doing. And so, you know, that's how I stumbled across it, by just trial and error, but knowing that I really want to get somewhere in my life, that there was something special here with the decision I made to get in the world of the financial services industry.
That's awesome. So, did you always have the right mentality as far as like, you know, never falling into like victim mindset or, you know, or whatever it is, like you just weren't shown the way, but the mentality that you had, a like, how did that play a role?
You know? I'd say I was about 50-50. I mean, in all honesty, David, 50, I was blaming other people. 50%, I took ownership. The more that went to more 90-10 ownership, 10% blame to 100% ownership, my life started changing. For example, I get married, divorced. Oh, you suck. You did this to me. Da, 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 da. So I'm blaming her. Shoot, I'm blaming me. And I'm sad that I even ask you to be in a relationship with me because, quite frankly, we're not a match. The only good thing that came out of this was a child who's now 26 years old. So I had to learn to move on. And then, David, since I didn't fix that problem, you know, I was halfway in, halfway out, and I didn't fully commit to taking ownership and responsibility. Got stumbled across another relationship, got twins there. So here I am as a single father now with three kids. And I found myself, okay, this is not going to happen a third time. Not going to happen a third time. And so that's where I said, I'm falling into these mistakes from 22 to 28 years old. I'm not carrying this into my 30s. And then I need to make sure my 30s are completely different. And that's when I decided to make a change. I found myself after a party on my 30th birthday, David, driving drunk on the opposite side of the road. I woke up on the opposite side of the road while driving. And all I can see come in front of me was another car headed towards me. And I swung to the left, almost hit the bus stop, swung all the way back to the right, put my car in park. I said, oh my gosh, what just happened? I could have killed myself worse. I could have killed somebody that's innocent to the situation. So is that moment, David? I said, you know, enough is enough. I need to take 100% responsibility for what's going on in my life. And that's where I, in my story, in my journey, not to say that the pushing this on anybody else, but that's when I started really deepening my search for faith, searching my relationship with a higher power, something that greater than myself. That's when The Good Man Upstairs and a good book came across my life. And my book coming out here, by the way, you know, shameless plug, August 10th.
I got a book. You got a book coming out? Oh, awesome, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's congrats on that. Yeah, I'm going to be the first to get it. Yeah, when it comes out, I'll have it on the notes. I'll come back and put it on the notes as well. Appreciate that. As well. So the book. Okay, so when did you start writing the book? Is this recent?
Earlier this year. I started writing the book earlier this year, really hardcore into it the last, I'd say, 90 days. It's been a really good process. It's allowed me to create a lot of clarity in the way I was thinking, because I realized that I'm also, as yourself too, David, you're a self-learner. I'm a self-learner. And I realized after all these mentors I took notes on, got their courses, went to the masterminds, conferences, I'm a mixture of so many mentors. And writing the book allowed me to do is to take all that and create my own recipe, right? And articulate what that recipe has been, which is what I've been doing for the last, I would say the last 7-8 years now, really teaching my own methodology, because I'm a mixture of, in combination of all these different, you know, entrepreneurial recipes out there. Obviously the closest being to Patrick, but David, since I've worked closely with them the last, you know, going on 7 years now. But it allowed me to get clarity in my thoughts. And what opened up out of this, shoot, I got 5 more books in me, bro. I got the notes we took down, I was like, yep, there's another 5 more books. Okay, I got my next project. So one thing led to many other things. And it's exciting because one thing that I ran across a Jewish rabbi says, everything we do in our family, everybody here has to write a book, because books outlive you. And your children can learn, your descendants can learn from what you were dealing with in your 20s and 30s. Like, for example, it would be cool, David, that 50 years from now, they run across this podcast, they hear about you and hear about us having a conversation, and they're thinking like, oh, that's how my great-great-grandfather was talking at 48 years old with David, who's 38 years old, doing trading and needs insurance. Wow, these are real conversations. That's why I create content like this. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm not thinking about me today. I'm thinking about 50 years from now, my grandkids, my great-grandkids coming of age, thinking about how to get ahead in life, because oftentimes we don't listen to our own upbringing, but we listen to the upbringings of other people. And, oh, that's what makes my grandma, grandpa, my parents make sense now, because other people are edifying that train of thought.
That's amazing. So, yeah, I heard that's one of the inspirations I had to start doing podcasts and YouTube. I actually was like, I disappeared from like society for while I was learning to focusing on my craft and learning my skills for like 3 or 4 years. I like disappeared. And then I was binge watching. I remember watching like PBD mention he's doing valuetainment so his kids can binge watch it in the future, you know? And it is like that. I think it's those Jewish proverbs. It's like plant a tree, write a book, and there's a couple other things. But yeah, absolutely. I think of the same thing. Like, this is like documenting and cataloging all this stuff so you can, you know, you can look back on it later. You know, it's incredible. You like what you can do these days. And, it's great. So you mentioned the mentality. So, what do you think people can do? Because a lot of people that listen to this podcast are like in situations, maybe not exactly like mine, of course, but situations where like they want to learn a new skill to escape, so they don't have to be stuck in their 9-to-5 forever, or they're stuck they went to college, were promised a dream, or like they thought they were going to get that dream. And then they go to the real world like I did, and it's like, I guess, shut down. It's like, oh my God, it's not it. So they want to find a new skill that they can possibly do full time if they get good at it. And for you, it was that shock from like the drunk driving and incredible story and just those divorces and blaming others. And once you realize that was the wrong way to approach it, mm-hmm. that you need to fix your mentality, then that's when everything started to turn around, it sounds like. But like, what do you think people, so they don't have to go through that shock value, they can just kind of look in the mirror and address it. You know what I mean?
I think it's funny because, you know, there's different classes of people, right? At how you learn. You know, you can learn the smart way, right? Which is listening to people that are trying to pour into you. But sometimes the delivery also, their delivery, to, like for example, my upbringing, my aunties and people in my family, they're telling me what to do. And I never liked that. Don't tell, like auntie, listen, I got my life. Don't tell me what to do. I don't, like, you need to be in the medical profession. You're Filipino. Everybody's in the hospital. You need to be a nurse. You need to be a doctor. You need to be an anesthesiologist. You need to be a dentist, an attorney. You need to be somebody that's respected in the medical field, because that was their journey to be respected coming from the Philippines to America. Because in the Philippines, after Vietnam, during Vietnam War, that they were doing heavy recruitment of nurses in the Philippines because all the nurses from America left for Vietnam. So there was a talent shortage in America. So the best way to fix that is to recruit from the Philippines. And there's actual nursing colleges board certified in the Philippines that has American standards. So that's a ticket to get to America. And so when they came here, they thought that that was a ticket for the children. That was a ticket for the siblings. And by the way, man, Joe Coy nails it. He said, listen, moms and aunties, they know how to crush your children's dreams. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do this. You're going to do this. So that's one way to learn, is to say, you know, let me be opposite of what everybody in my life is telling me. Well, the second is, let me listen. But listen with also understanding what you're about. So for example, David, I'm 6'3", you know, 235 pounds. I could have been somewhat athletic, but I was shied away. I was shying away from all the sports camps, and I was shying away from all, even though I love to do that. I love to play sports. But it was never really something that I took initiative to really hone that skill, because everybody's got skill, but never developed it. I had fun with it, but never developed it. Never got access to camps, never got access to, you know, the training facilities, whatever is at the park is what we dealt with. So if somebody's out there listening, you can learn the smart way, you can learn the dumb way, or you're looking to learn the wise way. The wise way meaning that you find people living the life that you want, and you start asking them questions. Kind of like what you're doing with this podcast right now. They're living the life, yeah, and having the life you want. Go talk to them.
Yeah.
Take them out for lunch. Invite them to your podcast. Invite them to your YouTube channel. Have a conversation and asking questions to identify blind spots that you don't even know right to look for right now. And so that would be the way to go about avoiding a lot of time in your life to start getting to where you want to go.
You know, it's incredible. You just mentioned that part. So also through the PVD podcast, another guy popped up in there, Albert Preciados. I don't know, mm-hmm, if you know who he is. He does the Driven Academy. Yeah, yeah. And so I watched some of his stuff too. And I actually sent them a voice message on Instagram. It's crazy what you can do these days. You can actually reach out to people just like I reached out to you. And I've resonated with something he said, and I put a voice message back, and I was like, a similar topic to what we're talking about, but a little bit different. And he told me something, and it hit me so good. He's like, yeah, I always focus on the future. I don't dwell on the past. Like, I had fun in my 20s, because he posted some crazy photos recently of like him in his 20s. Like, he was like in the hospital. He used to go in bar fights. And then now this guy is like absolutely crushing it. And I've watched some of his journey from a few years ago, and you could see the exponential growth as time goes on. It's crazy. Yeah. Kind of like with you and PBD as well. You know, it's just really cool to see that. It's very inspiring. But yeah, you can reach out to people and talk to them. Whether it's Instagram, Twitter. I've had all my guests on the podcast or our Twitter or internet. I didn't get a publicist to go find these people. I've reached out and asked them direct questions. And then on top of that, when you do a podcast, or when you invite people that you look up to, you resonate with, you can you prepare, and it's like a deep form of learning, and you focus. And instead of just like, you know, like sometimes when I listen to stuff in the background, it doesn't completely soak in. This is the age we live in now. There's just like so many good opportunities that I was telling you before the podcast started, like when I was in my early 20s, it was none of this, you know? So
Yeah, and by the way, when we get messages from people that want to invite us to their podcast, we also look at your profile. And so we see what type of content you've been putting out. And if it's consistent with what you're talking about, then it's a no-brainer. You say, yeah, I'm an architect. And here you are posting pictures about buildings and the structures. I'm pretty sure it catches your attention. You post pictures about you in Dubai. You post pictures about you traveling all over there. You got buildings and you're visiting pyramids in Mexico, or right? Those type of things. That tells me that you're not only talking the talk, you're also walking the walk. So sometimes people reach out to us and it's opposite. They want to talk about this, but they got nothing but nonsense on their IG profiles or on the social media profile, and it's not congruent. We're like, yeah, that's a quick pass. But if a guy like you is not only talking the talk, but also walking the walk and showing that you're about your business, that you're about your life, it's very easy for guys like us to say, yeah, no problem. And by the way, it's got nothing to do with subscriber account, or at least for me. It's got nothing to do with subscriber count. It's got nothing to do with views, followers. It has to deal with the character of the person that I perceive is reaching out to me. And usually consistency is a great indicator of character.
Absolutely, man. That's really, thank you first of all for that. You know, it's something I've been working on 4 or 5 years now, you know, and I think I keep saying the PBD and valuetainment, but it's just, you know, I've watched so much of their stuff. And I remember somewhere along the line, it's like, you know, what your social media is like your branding, you know, you gotta keep that. It wasn't always like that. 5-6 years ago, my Instagram had me like at the club or something, you know, or just some random stuff. Now it's like, it shows what I want to be about, you know, you know what I'm saying? And the things that I'm doing with my life, and it's all on par. Yeah, the same way I'm able to get people for the podcast as well. Like, you know, the first 10, 20 episodes were the hardest, because like, I had to like, people are going to look at what I did before in order to see if they want to come on. So yeah. I had to be like, show how serious I was, because a lot of people start a podcast, they're doing 1 or 2 episodes, and yeah, then they give up, or they're just not serious about it. It's just inconsistent. Yeah. So yeah, you know, so absolutely. So thank you for mentioning that, you know, so it's just, shows that the work is paying off. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, absolutely. So Matt, any other thoughts you wanted to say from, about like the topics that we touched on? Any other important things that went on in your life, that got you to where you're at? Like, you know what I mean? Any big moments?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, it's just, you know, listen, if you're listening to this and you want to get to the next area of your life, it's very simple. You know, we always talk about, if you want to get to the next level of your life, you got to focus on really 3 things. Books. What type of books are you reading? What type of content are you feeding yourself in? Are you on these nonsense sites? Are you consuming unnecessary TikTok and reels and things that are just purely entertainment? And by the way, who doesn't like a good, you know, fight video? Who doesn't like the conflict and controversy? But if that's all you're watching, it's all entertainment, but nothing feeding. We're having this conversation with guys playing video games, which shocks me today, because I was doing a reaction video to this guy named Andrew Tate and a bunch of people in the gaming community, because he tends to attract a lot of people in between their 8, you know, teenagers to about 25 years old. So I started catching some of that traffic on my YouTube channel, and everybody's justifying them playing video games. And so, what skill set do you get from playing video games? Because here's what I remember. It was purely entertainment for me. And I remember getting my son an Xbox, and I got myself one game, David. I got myself NFL Madden.
Okay.
I love football, I love sports. Uh-huh. And next, you know, I'm one of those addicted behaviors that I'm not going to fall asleep until I figure it out. And next thing you know, bro, I'm on this video game for 2 days straight without sleeping on this damn video game.
Wow.
Because I'm in franchise mode. I'm building a team from scratch. I'm drafting. I'm playing every game of the season. I'm going into playoffs. I want my guys to have the top stats. I want guys to get paid the most money. I want guys to get the strong power, 99, all this stuff. I want to draft. I want to trade some of my best guys to get 5 different draft picks. 2.5 days of no sleep And by the way, I can go maybe 3 days, 4 days without sleep. I learned that from the military. And I stopped playing the video game because I asked myself this question. How much money did I make? Nothing. How much money did EA Sports make? A lot. So and Microsoft, selling the Xbox, a lot. So everybody in this arrangement is making money out of this conversation, my efforts, but me. Something wrong with that equation. So since then, I said officially, I'm going to retire and focus my attention on things that I can build and invest time in. And there's some form of tangible return. It doesn't have to be tangibly back to me, but something that I spent time and invested in. There's some tangible investing time with my wife, investing time reading my faith, praying, investing time with my children, investing time with my business, building up the next associate, investing my time in personal development. These things start having a compounding effort, because what is a compounding effort of just scrolling through social media? No skills are being learned. You're being entertained. Content of scrolling through, you know, social media or video games. What's the outcome of that? There's none. Zero. Unless you're doing it for a living. I mean, right now colleges are paying guys to play esports. But unless you're good enough to play, and I guess you never find out if you're good enough to play unless you play a lot of video games. But for the most part, just like for me, I like sports, but I knew my talent level wasn't going to be to the level of doing this for a living. At least playing sports, you're somewhat in shape. You have a diet, you're in shape, you have a discipline regimen. I'm not so sure how that goes with video games. Phenomenon to me. I'm an old guy. I probably don't understand. Probably will never understand. I will seek to understand. But find things going in your life that's going to benefit you. We said during the pandemic, if you don't come out of this pandemic with a new skill set, stop saying that you didn't have time or money. The government gave you money. The government gave you time. Just admit that you were lazy. And once you admit that you're lazy, you take ownership and responsibility of that, and it pisses you off, maybe then you start making a difference in your life.
See, that's powerful right there. I know a lot of people these days, I mean, when people reach out to me, I tell them something similar along those lines, you know, instead of watching Netflix or something, you know, you should be looking at stuff that's productive, stuff that's going to make you money in the future. I used to be caught up with fantasy baseball. You were with Madden. I was with fantasy baseball. The word fantasy, it tells you everything right there, you know. So
I used to believe it's not for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Matt, for coming on and shedding light and all that and those topics. It's great to connect with you, man. And really a big fan of all the stuff you put out there and developing that Money Smart brand that you got and the whole Valuetainment and everything. It's been great. But yeah, thanks a lot for coming on and making the time for this. And I really appreciate it.
Great. Glad to be here, man. You can find me all the way on Money Smart Guy and everything on the internet. And Faith Made Millionaire is coming out. Pre-launch is August 10th, but Faith Made Millionaire will be available on Amazon and all the different book centers on October 1st.
Great. And I'll have everything in the show notes. And when that book comes out, it'll be there as well. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too.
That concludes today's episode. Make sure to like and subscribe to the channel on the platform you use. The Friendly Bear Podcast is hosted by me, David, where you can find me on Twitter at @reverse_long. You can find The Friendly Bear Podcast at www.thefriendlybearpodcast.com, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, and now on YouTube at Friendly Bear Research. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Friendly Bear Podcast.